Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. All week long, we've been subjected to furious debate about some controversial statements made by Mitt Romney at a fundraiser earlier this year, statements that were secretly recorded and have now become ubiquitous. In a nutshell, the candidate seems to dismiss 47% of the electorate as permanently dependent on government services, paying no income taxes, and therefore beholden to Barack Obama. The president faced a controversy during his first run for the White House that also hinged on secretly taped remarks that seemed to write off some voters as being beyond reach. Whether or not either man really meant what he seemed to say, what's more important to understand is this: whether there are such massive, intractable blocks of constituents in this country. And one block that is often seen as such is carefully examined in the 2012 Race, Class, and Culture Survey, which highlights the vote values and worldview of the white working class in America, a group that doesn't get a whole lot of study. It's hot off the presses, and I'm very pleased to welcome its co-author and PRRI's founding CEO, Dr. Robert P. Jones, back to State of Belief Radio. Robbie, welcome.
Thanks, Weldon. I'm really glad to be here.
You write that both the right and the left accept certain stereotypes about this particular population. What would you describe that population and then shatter some stereotypes, if you will?
Well, I think you're right. You know, we were in the field for the survey actually in August, so well before, you know, the recent comments by Governor Romney that sort of stirred this pot again. Yeah. But as you said, we had a conversation about this in 2008 around some comments that Barack Obama made. You know, I think that going into this survey, what we really thought was that there's not an absence of conversation or debate about white working class Americans, but there has been like an absence of good facts on the ground, right? And so, you know, this kind of old saying of like people are entitled to their opinions but not to their own facts, right? And what we've increasingly seen is that those on the right and the left actually seem to be throwing out their own facts about this group, and they both couldn't be true because they were both claiming opposite things. Yeah. So we decided to get a little bit underneath you know, some of the stereotypes, some of the conjecture, and really try to say, all right, what's real, what's not real, what's true, what's not true, which stereotypes hold up, and which ones really don't hold water.
How big is this group that we're talking about?
Yeah. So we might call this the 36%, right? So Romney's kind of introduced us to the 47%. It's kind of rare in American public life that we have a percent sign getting so many headlines. So we'll pick up on that. This represents the white working class. Represents one-third, a little bit more than a third, so 36% of the American population. It's a very large group in the country. And just, I should say a bit about definition here, that we're talking about people, sort of white, non-Hispanic Americans without a four-year college education and who have non-salaried jobs. That is, they get paid by the hour or by the job.
So did you find some characteristics held in common by the people in this group?
Yeah. So, you know, it does – one of the things that we, I think, have seen, a lot of other literature has, you know, confirmed, is that we do have in America some of what is true is that this group lives in a little bit of a different geographical location than their white college-educated peers do. So they're more likely, for example, to live in rural areas than they are to live in urban areas. They are also, when you look at the communities and you ask them what big problems are in their communities, you can actually see, you know, that we've had this kind of gated community complex where increasingly wealthy Americans are living apart from Americans who are facing more economic challenges. And we kind of see this in the data where we ask about the biggest problems facing communities. You know, two-thirds of the white working class say lack of jobs are a serious problem in our community, and a bare majority of white college-educated Americans say this. A majority of white working-class Americans say that a lack of opportunity for young people is a serious problem in our community, and less than a majority of white college-educated Americans say that. So they're geographically in different places, but also I think even within the same locales are living in communities that face very different problems.
If these voters are going to the polls in November to try to solve national problems as they see them,
yeah,
what are the national problems? And yeah. I guess I and let me also just say this: are they interested in national problems, or are they just interested in personal?
Yeah. Well, I think it is the economy, right? I mean, this is not surprising. Right? This is a group that has been one of the hardest hit groups in the economy. Just one little thing about them: they are working more hours per average, so they're working on average 51 hours per week. Compared to only 46 hours per week of white college-educated workers. Yet, even though they're working harder, they are far more likely to report that their financial situation is in fair or even or poor condition, whereas a majority of white college-educated yeah. people are say that they're actually in good or excellent shape. So they're working harder, doing less well. And they've been hit really hard with the economy. So they do say, like in my local community, the biggest problem is a lack of good jobs and opportunities for younger people. But also, when you ask them what's the most important thing in their presidential vote, the national scene, by far the economy.
Will they vote?
Yeah. They are registered to vote at slightly lower rates than their college-educated peers are among whites. However, they are going to make up about 3 in 10 voters in the fall, and so that's a really important segment.
My guest is Dr. Robert P. Jones, CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, which has just released a comprehensive new survey titled Beyond Guns and God: Understanding the Complexities of the White Working Class in America. It's a terrific study that I hope you'll take a look at. Robbie, you've already said that this segment of the population is far more diverse in almost every measure than is commonly assumed. So, based on your research, who is the 2012 presidential candidate for the white working class?
Yeah. Well, overall, it's clear that Mitt Romney is doing fairly well in this group. So he leads overall among the white working class, 48% to 35% compared to Obama. But in another way, you might want to ask, well, which segment of the working class, white working class, are you talking about? Because while he's doing well among white working class Americans in the South, those who are over the age of 65, those who are Protestant and men, he's winning handily among those groups. But among a bunch of other groups, he's actually in a dead heat with President Obama. So in among Catholics, among younger white working class Americans, among white working class Americans in the Northeast and the Midwest, and among women, it's actually a statistical dead heat between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. And that's likely to come as a surprise, I think, and breaks a little bit against the conventional wisdom that this is a Republican constituency that is just locked up.
That's a really interesting point. It makes me wonder whether or not what kind of attention do these people get in the process of an election? And what you just said about the that it's not locked up by anybody. Are they getting in? I know you didn't get this in your polling, but are they getting the kind of attention you would think, given their possibilities?
Well, clearly, particularly in the Midwest. I mean, this is where this group is really important. So, Catholic, white working class Americans are really important in places like Pennsylvania, places like Ohio. These are real battleground states where, in a close election, this group absolutely can tip the election one way or the other. And what we see is that Romney is doing well. But when we look historically back at how well McCain did, how well, Bush did, and McCain lost, but he's not really even pulling up even with where McCain was. So he really needs to do much better than he's doing, even though he is winning overall.
I see. Your report alludes to Barack Obama's 2008 Guns and God remark. In fact, it's right there on the headlines of it. Just as you were releasing this report, candidate Romney was receiving a lot of attention for, in effect, writing off 47% of the electorate as unreachable by his campaign. You just talked about the fact that a lot of these people were committed to Romney. Is there anything in your research that helps either validate or invalidate Romney's statement about the 47%? Because a percentage of the population you actually surveyed qualifies as the working poor, which is going to be reflected in whether they pay any income tax, and some members certainly receive government benefits.
Right. Well, one thing we know about, you know, the 47% that has now become quite famous is that 4 in 5 of them are in households with incomes of under $30,000 a year, right? So that group, when we look inside the white working class, that group makes up about a third of the white working class Americans. And so it's still – it's a fairly big group of this group, a subset of this group. But we, again, we know that this group is, you know, they're working very hard. So like it kind of cuts against the image of, you know, people who are sitting around waiting on their government check. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this group is that even though, for example, 1 in 5 of this group of white working class Americans has been the beneficiary of things like food stamps or unemployment benefits, those kinds of things. Even among this group, they still have concerns about government programs creating dependencies. So there's some real complexity here. So on the one hand, they might agree with Romney on some of the kind of on the face of it, right? Mm-hmm. But their life experience is actually something quite different from that. So I think there's a real complexity here. But I think where they'll get off the train and maybe you know, be not so happy with the remarks is really anything that applies that, you know, as maybe Charles Murray's book did earlier this year, that one of the reasons why they're in trouble is because they've lost a strong work ethic, they've become lazy. That's just not the picture we see here. As people who are looking for working very hard as they are and also looking, you know, and experiencing a pretty tough time in this economy.
When some leaders try to leverage religion to influence electoral politics, which, as you know, I think is always a bad idea, but we know it's happening. When they do that, I think they're picturing members of the white working class as being a large part of their audience. What did you find in this survey that either supports or debunks that notion?
Well, in terms of religiosity, I mean, this is all really quite interesting because on the one hand, on the left has sort of accused this class of being, you know, so enthralled with religion and traditional values that they vote against their own economic interests. Clearly, we don't see that here. In fact, one of the interesting findings that we have that a number of other studies have also confirmed is that it's actually white college-educated Americans that are more influenced by culture war politics than white working-class Americans. White working-class Americans are much more concerned with the economy than they are about this kind of, you know, I vote values, culture war politics that we hear so much about. And in fact, in any way you slice it, you look at what's the most critical issue to their vote, only 5% of white working class Americans say either abortion or same-sex marriage is the most important thing to their vote. It's just almost not on the radar screen at all among white working class Americans. And even if you look at their attitudes, I mean, they're fairly divided. So this is not a sort of, you know, anti-choice, anti-gay, strongly anti-gay marriage group. So while half of white working class Americans, for example, say that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and about 45% say it should be illegal, so very divided there. Half of them say are opposed to same-sex marriage, but 43% of them support it. So it's not really an overwhelming, it's really kind of division on these kind of culture war issues. So it's not really the constituency that really is going to be riding that bus, you know, to the polls in November.
You know, what's so difficult about talking with you is that anytime I want to argue with you, I have to remember you've got the poll. And so you've got the data, and you're going to win the argument. Let's go beyond what we've been talking about now for just a moment, and let me ask you about the Americans who fall into this category. What did you learn about them generally?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think that, you know, I've said this already, but I'll say it again because I think it's really worth saying. These are hardworking Americans who are living in communities where they're really struggling. So the lack of jobs, lack of opportunities for young people are something that's very high on this group's list. And they're affected by that much more than white college-educated Americans are. And some of that's about the kind of bifurcation that we find by class, even in very similar geographic locations. I think that's really one thing. You know, they're not animated by the culture war issues. And I think, you know, the other thing that they are that I think is really important is that they feel very disconnected from government. So they feel like, you know, government, we see this in a number of places in the poll, you know, government has paid attention to minorities. government is sort of taking care of the wealthy with tax breaks, and they're the group that's been sort of left on their own. Hmm. And I think that's something that I think both parties actually should, you know, kind of pay attention to, is that they really feel we had a question about how they think about government. And what we found is that white working class Americans are more likely to say when they think about government, they think about government as the government rather than our government. And that, I think, is sort of opens the door into a whole insight about just feeling like government's not responsive to them.
Almost invariably, your surveys break a lot of stereotypes for people, which is a good thing, that we deal with reality and not what we think is reality. Robbie, what in this particular survey, I usually ask you this, what surprised you most?
You know, I do think that we haven't mentioned the Tea Party. I think this is one place, too, where, you know, early on, and we've done a lot of polling on the Tea Party, and, you know, early on, there still is this lingering set of assumptions that white working class Americans are the backbone of the Tea Party. We actually just don't find that, right, that they're no more likely than white college-educated Americans to say they identify with the Tea Party. They're no more likely to say the Tea Party shares their values. It's just not a hardcore Tea Party constituency. I think the biggest thing that surprised me, though, is a big picture thing, and that is the complexity and the diversity of this group. For example, that the South, white working class Americans in the South look significantly different than white working class Americans everywhere else in the country. And so if you sort of take that to heart, it really does mean that we really ought to stop talking about this group as one group. They really are a very complex constituency.
Hmm. The 2012 Public Religion Research Institute Race, Class, and Culture Survey, which highlights the vote, values, and worldview of the white working class in America, is just out, and this comprehensive report is available now. You can see it. You can study it. Go to publicreligion.org. Take a look at it. You'll learn a lot about our fellow Americans, regardless of whether or not you yourself fall into the category of voters whom it examines. Dr. Robert P. Jones is responsible for all of this. He's the founding CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute and co-author of this study titled Beyond Guns and God, Understanding the Complexities of the White Working Class in America. Dr. Jones helps us in many ways go beyond complexities and know what people are really saying and thinking. That's good for all of us. Robbie, as always, thank you for taking time to be with us here on State of Belief Radio.
Always a privilege. Thanks.